Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
On today's episode of The Glue Guys, a special Thanksgiving themed episode. First, we're going to talk about that dynamic Brooklyn Nets win in Cleveland. John Hollinger has a pretty interesting piece on the biggest free agents in the upcoming offseason. Two Nets are on them. Kyrie Irving places in a very surprising place. We will discuss that. And killer comparisons.
My gosh.
Nets as Thanksgiving guests. The archetypes of guests. It'll make a lot more sense.
A classic killer comparison. Like, I can feel it.
Before we get started on today's show, this podcast is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Get your TV together with the best of live and on demand. Learn more at directtv.com.
DebtCam.
Welcome back to The Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Check us out on Twitter at BKGlueGuys. NetsDaily.com. The Athletic. New Black Friday offer, Brian. Get yourself hashtag behind that paywall. Go to TheAthletic.com/GlueGuys. $1 a month for an entire year.
Whoa.
$12 total.
Whoa. Whoa.
For the entire year to get behind that paywall, you get our podcast ad-free, which is definitely the biggest selling point. But more than that, you get John Hollinger, I reference. You get all of his great articles. You get every mock draft. You get every fantasy football analysis, fantasy basketball analysis. You get so much stuff!
Wait. That's big. Wow. Funk Flex.
Brian!
Michael,
the Nets are back.
Classic. My hello is off. Do you know why? It's because I have these giant headphones on, and I'm like, you know, I'm like in the booth. I'm in the audio. Like, I can't. I'm like, turn up my headphones. I can't hear myself in my headphones because I'm in a hole in Sag Harbor.
Tell people where you are.
I'm underground in Sag Harbor. I'm on the lam.
So if people don't usually watch our YouTube streams, Brian typically broadcasts from his broadcast center in Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah,
which is the like
media,
half of
the
a
media
closet.
Epicenter.
Yeah. And he has a green screen behind him. Now he literally is in like a panic
room. I'm in a panic room in Sag Harbor.
With a very weird shelf situation behind you.
What is that? I think it's supposed to be it's like a gym in the making or something. That's sort of what the vibe is. It's proto gym. The acoustics are not great. And, you know, but we're making it work. We're making it work, Mike.
Hey, we're making it work.
Fresh off
just like the Brooklyn Nets.
Fresh off a bit. Did you watch the game? Do you have hot takes? Will you give them to me, please?
This felt like we're talking about the Cavaliers game. So the Nets are 13-5. And I had made a joke on Twitter a game ago that, hey, remember when like Stephen A. Smith was like super mad about
mad.
Kevin Durant?
You'd even say big mad.
Big mad. That Kevin Durant should demand a trade. That he should demand a trade out of Brooklyn. Brooklyn is dead.
Yeah.
The team sucks. He has no help. He should get out of Brooklyn. He made a big mistake by not joining the Knicks, right? Remember that? When everyone got mad because they lost to the best team in basketball in the Golden State Warriors, a juggernaut. I can say that now.
Wow, can you?
Well, the Nets are, I believe, number one in the East. They maintain that standing. They're 13-5. I think they're one of three teams in the NBA with 13 or more wins. Them, the Suns, who are super hot.
Yeah.
They're on a 13-game winning streak, and the Golden State Warriors at 15-2. The Nets are clearly in the process of trying to separate themselves from the rest of the morass of the East. This Cavaliers game was a frisky game. The Cavs are a frisky team. To me, it was a big, I don't want to say turning point, but a marker to show just how much the Nets role players have advanced and gained confidence around Harden and Durant. They're figuring out how to play around the two big dogs.
It was. There was like, you know, we talk about, you know, the worst thing you can be in basketball, sort of identityless. There's the beginnings. It was kind of a really important game just for finding
that. What are you, J.K. Rowling?
I know. Building these narrative arcs. I do think that it's like, and Sarah Kustak kind of picked up on it at one point, but there's like this weird effect of playing young guys like Cam Thomas, who everyone is so, it's weird that everyone's so fixated on him, but he is kind of, he's just a focal point in a lot of ways, but symbolically, but also he's a reason for people to talk, you know, because like he's such a noob that the veterans, when they're playing together, they sort of like defer to one another constantly. But if you have a conspicuous noob in the game that needs to be talked to, it has a way of just kind of lubricating the conversation. Like it's an icebreaker. Ooh. And then all of a sudden everyone's vibing. It got real vibey in there. You know, there was a whole lot of chatter.
There's like this delightful mentor, a Padawan Jedi master like relationship going on between Kevin Durant and Cam Thomas. It seems like Cam Thomas is sitting at the table of Durant, waiting for the morsels of basketball information that he can get from KD. I think Cam said that before the Cavs game that he and KD played one-on-one and that Cam beat him. And then KD, after the game with Michael Grady, Grady asked KD about Cam's game. And if you didn't watch last night, 4 for 7 from the field, 2 from 3, 11 points, 3 rebounds, no turnovers. He had a block shot. No assists as usual, but when he came in, he really provided, he was part of the spark that got the Nets back into the lead in the game when they were down. They were down about like 12 points or something like that. And Cam was that spark that they really needed. And KD said after the game, and this is an important point, that why Cam was in the game was because his defense. He was actually playing better defense. That's why he stayed on the floor, because we all know he has that offense. And I'll say this. I don't want to go too crazy on Cam Thomas just yet. He's had one good NBA game.
Let's not.
Even though, did you see he scored 42 points for the Long Island Nets?
I thought it was 46.
46? I mean, it's actually kind of what we predicted.
What's not to get excited about? Come on, that's fun. That's fun stuff.
Yeah. I actually would love if we could just watch him playing with the Long Island Nets all year and dominate and try to break records down there. The thing I've liked about Cam so far, even in limited minutes, I think he's becoming self-aware.
Mm.
You know, our big concern when he was blowing up Vegas in the summer league was like, is he going to just try to do that? Is he trying to take 10 shots when he comes in for 5 minutes for the Nets and all the veterans hate him? I think he's trying, for the most part, to not just jack up shots in an insane degree.
He heard us. He heard the show. But yeah, I mean, like in general, it's not just Cam. I guess the lesson to take here is that older people need to vampirically feed off the energy of the young. You know, that's sort of, it's an important part of the cycle of life. And, you know, we just don't play like that. That's the only super young dude in our rotation that actually could, you know, feasibly get minutes. Anyways, it's good to see him crack the rotation, like, finally.
Yeah. And it was important minutes, and we'll get to this sort of in our Thanksgiving killer comparison. It came at the cost of Javon Carter. Javon Carter's shifting further and further out to orbit. He's almost going to become Pluto, where he's no longer a planet, and we don't really talk about him anymore. But it wasn't just Cam Thomas in that game. I mean, so Kevin Durant played about 39 minutes. He had a good Kevin Durant game, 27 points, 9 assists, and 6 rebounds on 19 shots. Harden, 14 points, 14 assists, 3 steals, 6 rebounds, only on 10 shots. It was actually like the Harden games that we used to get when he first came over in the trade from Houston. So the two stars played well, not ascendant. But what made the difference was that LaMarcus Aldridge, 21 points, 11 rebounds. James Johnson, though, he was 4 for 13 from the field. I just like those James Johnson minutes now. I enjoy the craftiness, the sort of like odd aggressive moments.
Mm-hmm.
He seems like a good vibes guy for the most part on the teams. And he does, you know, he had 5 assists in this game. he had, I forget what it was, a couple of games ago where he had 10 rebounds and 10 points or something. Like, he kind of sticks in a bunch of different places. And lastly, DeAndre Bembry. Bembry got his start.
Finally.
He started in
Long
place
time
of,
coming. Bruce better be watching his back, buddy. Let me tell you right now, Bruce has got to be cautious with this Bembry.
Well, I know. And it's kind of like a good problem to have. They're both productive, and they both. But Bembry does, like, I do think there's going to be a point where, like, Bembry may end up playing more in front of Bruce because Bembry's longer. He is, like, actually more athletic, I think, right? I mean, like, Bruce is bulkier, more rugged, where Bembry has the kind of, like, Spider-Man like qualities where he's sticking on top of dudes.
I think
if
the difference
we're doing
is
killer comparison superheroes.
What?
Bembry Spider-Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Bruce Brown is the Thing? Is that a guy?
the Rock guy.
The Rock person?
Yeah, the Rock man.
Geodude?
Yeah, there's something there. It's like basically
Pokemon.
I think the big difference there is that, you know, while we love Bruce Brown's like push shot thing where he stops, not a super great shot in the grand scheme of things. It's like, it's a solution.
It looks amazing when it goes in because it's so unexpected,
but then it
usually doesn't go in.
The difference between him and Bembry is that Bembry does have the eye hand coordination to take that extra two dribbles and get to a place where it's a normal looking layup. And not to say that, you know, we don't love Bruce Brown's weird floater like we do, but it is it's an adaptive, it's adaptation to a problem, which is that he can't actually do that thing. I love them both for different reasons. Also, I think Bruce is just a really weird on-ball defender. Like, he lets people beat him and then he recovers really cleverly and stuff like that. Bembry plays passing lanes a little differently. It's cool that they're like just subtle differences in how they play defense, but they're both really, really good at it.
Yeah, I really, when I was watching Bembry, like, we've been on the Bembry train I've been on the Bembry train since the moment he signed in Brooklyn. Like, I've been,
I
had
my
tickets.
I think that everybody else wasn't on that train with you.
They weren't. I was the only one. I got the AAA discount. I was on that train. I was drinking that awful Canada Dry ginger ale. I was sipping on that ginger ale.
You went for the ginger ale, huh?
Pretzels.
I go
on the Amtrak.
I went for the V8 juice.
Oh, my God. Because you don't know how long that V8 juice has been sitting around.
Yeah,
at least I know
since
the ginger
1997.
Ale, like,
I know
sort
how
of
long
timeless.
It's been there. Yeah.
But Bembry, like, this is a credit to Sean Marks, where any team in the league could have had DeAndre Bembry. And I'm not saying he's like this knockout, he's Jordan Poole, right? Where, like, Jordan Poole, not many people were like super excited about, but the Warriors have turned him into a real player. But Marks is really skilled at finding the fringe guys like Bruce Brown. We thought maybe Javon Carter would be that, but he really isn't that yet. And Bembry, though, who he can get cheaply, who aren't ancient dinosaurs like Paul Millsap or LaMarcus Aldridge, and he gets good minutes out of them, and they have a valuable role on this team, a team filled with stars. And I think, again, this links back to, and we haven't talked about Patty Mills. I'm in love with Patty Mills. There was a moment in the game last night where he hit like a big three in the fourth quarter. The Cavs call a timeout. Patty's going back to the bench and he's like, he walks by Joe Harris and he says, like, screams something at Joe Harris. And Joe, like, is shocked by the energy and starts laughing. And then, like, Amari Stoudemire starts screaming back in a nice way at Patty Mills. Like, the Patty Mills energy is just pure, unadulterated good times.
Part of the dynamic that we were talking about in that game was that, like, he was running off screens from tip. So him playing with, like, the starters is kind of like, you know, Bruce was what I was calling like the pyrotechnics to start, but, like, it could be Patty. Like, I know he's playing like basically the Kyrie position of running off screens and stuff. I felt like we've needed that for a long time with that combination. We also so desperately need a proper pick and roll partner for James Harden for him to be like,
yes,
super activated. Whatever, we'll figure that out. It can't
Nick
be Blake
Claxton.
It's gonna be Claxton.
Whenever Claxton comes back, the rotation is going to be very interesting. So the biggest sort of development in the game for thinking long term is that Blake got 9 minutes in the game last night. And I believe he started. So if you think about it, most of those minutes came when he started the game and then he basically didn't play the rest of the time. He had 2 points, 2 rebounds, and three fouls. This is like an uncomfortable conversation. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving guests. This is that uncomfortable conversation with your unvaccinated uncle that you're like, I don't know if he can come. Like, I don't know if I can have him over for dinner in our house. We have young kids. They're not vaccinated. And I don't really know if I can have that conversation with my uncle. You know,
I don't know if he falls into that version of the, it's like, I don't know if he can come because like, or I don't know if he can host because his food sucks or something. You know, it's more like, you know, it's more like that.
He's a good time. Hey, he's got great jokes.
Yeah.
Like this very solid, only smiles, but.
But that turkey is dry. It is dry as a bone.
Blake basically, it's not proper to say he got benched. But he got.
It's on the spectrum. He got benched. On the benching spectrum.
He got benched because LaMarcus was playing so well, because James Johnson was playing well. Paul Millsap got 10 minutes in this game. I am interested to see when Nick Claxton does come back from his mysterious month-long illness that has sidelined him for so long, meningitis or whatever it is. I have no clue.
He won't say it. He refused to say.
Mad center disease. Is that a thing?
It is. Sorry. Nice. Nicely done.
Remember when that was like a big thing when we were growing up?
You see how I'm
that
sitting right COVID? Now? I'm in an insane stress. Both of my legs are dead asleep right now, Mike. That's.
I am struggling. I wish this episode was on YouTube. Yeah. You look mad uncomfortable. But when Nick Claxton comes back, so obviously the hierarchy of bigs right now, Blake is starting. But LaMarcus is number one. I think James Johnson is slowly but surely moving in as the, like, not counting Nick Claxton yet, but the number two sort of flexible big that Steve Nash is liking to play. I mean, James Johnson is getting more and more minutes per game, and Blake is getting less and less. And when Nick Claxton comes back, even though he didn't look good, he's going to get like 15 minutes a game at center.
Yeah.
I'm just being conservative. I mean, here's what. Okay, James Johnson, the past three games, 23 minutes, 26 minutes, and 29 minutes. He's been increasing steadily. Now, I don't think his spot in the rotation is permanent. Like, obviously, he's not a really good 3-point shooter. I understand that he has gotten four assists, and 5 assists in each of these games. He's more of an athletic presence than Blake at this point. He's more switchable.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a pick and roll big, but he's a guy who can do a bunch of stuff that Blake really can't do at this point.
Dude, he looked good in that Orlando game. Full stop. Capital G.
That Orlando game was super fun.
It's a weird one. Yeah, I liked it. People were
because it was just James Harden and the boys
and the boys. Boys and them boys, the squad.
And that was another like
against the Patty brothers special. The brothers Wagner.
I love that Mo gets 4 minutes, his brother's just so much better than him.
Mo, just go live under the stairs, Mo. You're Harry Potter. You're the lesser brother. Goodbye.
You know that he's like upset. He is obsessed with Harry Potter, and he calls himself Ron Weasley. I think. And
does he?
Which is like a very.
Are
like
you making that up? That's true. He calls himself Ron Weasley.
He like jokes about how he looks like Weasley.
If he identifies with Ron Weasley, no wonder he let his brother usurp him. No wonder.
And his brother kind of looks like a Victor Crumb friend, like a friend of Crumb.
You're in too deep now. I lost you.
That came in the Goblet of Fire. Okay. You know, Victor Crumb was one of the competing champions in the.
Oh, I know. Cup. He's like the Russian guy.
Yeah, who started trying to date Hermione, and then
right.
Yeah. So, anyways. Sorry. Good.
Deep cuts.
That was lame. Yeah, but the Magic game was super fun because it was like, hey, can James Harden still do this? 36 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 20 free throw attempts. Absolutely. He took 20 free throw attempts and 25 shots from the field. A startling amount of usage. But another Patty Mills special. Overall, the exciting thing that's happening right now with the Nets that's not really being discussed is, Kevin Durant is MVP level. James Harden is sort of oscillates between old James and like this hamstrung James that we're still waiting to bust out fully and be consistent. He's still putting up triple doubles. It's the role players around him. Patty Mills has figured out exactly what he needs to do with them. And Patty's been even better, I think, than I expected. And then LaMarcus Aldridge is fitting in beautifully. They're finding the James Johnson, Bembry minutes. They're fluctuating there, finding good time. Bruce Brown has been effective as usual in his role. So the team is forming around the stars in a very nice way. And, you know, that's what this, that's what the, as mad as Stephen A. got about how Kevin Durant has no help in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he's getting more and more help. And Stephen A., this is here, a word from Stephen A.
The New York Knicks look like straight trash.
I always love that drop. I'm sorry.
It's good.
Before we get to break and before we do killer comparisons, Brian, just a quick plug. So I told everyone, get behind that paywall, theathletic.com/glueguys. A dollar, $12. Brian, what's something you can spend $12 on? A Britney Spears CD?
Dude, you can drop $12 at the coffee at a coffee store. Easy. By accident.
Come on. A muffin and a latte.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. A muffin if you're not careful, you can drop $12.
So our boy, John Hollinger, friend of the show, wrote an early look at the top 25 NBA free agents for 2022. Very interesting. And I'll reveal what's happening, but everyone should read and dive into the analysis. He has Zach LaVine as number one over Beal, LeBron James, who I guess technically could be a free agent. I didn't even know LeBron. I mean, LeBron's going to be a net next year if I can call it. Here's who he has 4 and 5. At number 4, Kyrie. He has Kyrie all the way up to number 4, and James Harden's at 5 overall. These are the max free agent guys, and the guys just below that, DeAndre Ayton, Miles Bridges, Montrezl Harrell is pretty far below at 8. Like I'd say there's a big gap between James Harden and Montrezl Harrell. Here's what I want to say about that. So obviously Hollinger's one guy, but he used to run the personnel department for an NBA team. He's widely respected for his PER and his statistical analysis. He, a guy who's been in the front office making trades, analyzing players, has placed Kyrie Irving's value at 4 overall in a free agent class that could potentially include Zach LaVine, Bradley Beal, LeBron James, and James Harden. I find that very interesting because if Kyrie's value is still that high, that to me indicates that his trade value is fairly high. Now we're going to have a trade special episode coming up with Kyrie Irving.
Oh, we are.
We're going to do the Kyrie conundrum where we will go through. We did this with Caris LeVert, the LeVert line, an award-winning episode.
We did the Dinwiddie dilemma.
We did the Dinwiddie dilemma. Mm-hmm. We will do the Kyrie conundrum. And we will go through sort of the top level players that may be tradable. We'll find out our area where we feel comfortable trading Kyrie Irving. Jonas Valanciunas is like my guy. So he's on the list. And
we know, Mike. Oh, do we know?
But John Hollinger indicating that Kyrie Irving is still this highly thought of as a free agent seems to me that he would be highly valued as a trade target right now. I mean, considering, so this is just one data point, but a friend of the show, Andrew Schlecht, who has the Down to Dunk podcast, which is an Oklahoma City Thunder podcast, he tweeted out that the Thunder are no longer requiring vaccinations or even positive tests, I think, for people who want to come to the games. Don't have to be vaccinated. You don't even have to test positive or something like that.
Right.
I think we're going to see more and more arenas sort of open up in that way. There'll be teams that don't care about vaccinations. Localities don't care about it.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these teams are in places that don't really care about whether you're vaccinated or not. So if you're one of those teams, why would you care if Kyrie's vaccinated or not, really? Right? Particularly if most of your team is vaccinated, just grab the talent. So I think the trade market, if the Nets have to go there, will open up. The other thing I hope and I'm praying right now. You know, as much as I love vaccines, I'm going to get my booster today. I'm getting that 5G booster in my shoulder today.
On top of it.
But I do think the requirements for vaccine may, you know, I think it's going to loosen up a little.
Well, do you see the Canada thing?
Yeah, that's a
big one. So what, like, I mean, is that a pretty big, if the Raptors were actually really good? Yeah, that would be wild.
That's like a strong advantage for the Toronto based teams, right? I mean, particularly like in hockey. I mean, half the league's already in Canada.
Right.
And if it extends further, so people don't know, Canada has made it so any athletes who are unvaccinated can't come into Canada, right? Isn't that the basic ruling? Like, they can't play in Canada?
In the games in Canada.
Yeah. So, and if you look at the standings, a Nets-Raptors first-round series is not out of the question.
No.
It's actually pretty probable, right?
Wizards.
It's like
Wizards and Beal would have a hard time getting run in Canada, you know?
So just want to put that data point out there for people to track the fact that there's a league insider saying that Kyrie Irving is still so valuable. He's more valuable, more wanted than James Harden as a free agent. Let's do this, Brian. Let's take a quick break.
Please. Yeah.
Coming back, killer comparisons, Nets players as Thanksgiving guests archetypes.
Sounds good.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
And we're back, and here comes the drop, oh, Brian. Okay.
Man, I don't think we've... Fine wine that has aged. I do the vocals in that, Mike. Did you know?
I certainly do know you do the vocals in that. We haven't played that drop in, gosh, for so long, but that is our killer comparisons drop. For people new to the show, Killer Comparisons is where we compare Nets players or NBA players to just everyday things, pop culture, sort of interesting experiences in life. And it's Thanksgiving week. And God bless Thanksgiving, one of the great holidays.
God bless.
Out there. We are going to do comparing Nets players to different archetypes of people who show up for a Thanksgiving dinner. Okay. So, Brian, I don't know. Are you going to go off the same list I have, or you
I'm going off that list, and it's I'm interested in your answers by this list. Also, I'm interested in your family dynamic. There's,
I can explain a bit of my family. I think let's weave the personal within as we're talking about this. First off, I mean, this is like the most obvious one we'll do. The uncle with outlandish views, whatever views they are, the crazy wild, the uncle you're like, I really hope he doesn't start talking at dinner. It's Kyrie Irving. Of course it's Kyrie. I mean, this whole thing is basically based around the fact that it's Kyrie Irving. How would you think I won't even begin to think of how a Thanksgiving dinner would go with Kyrie, but it would be a trip. It'd be a fun wild ride, Brian.
Yeah. I mean, that one's a layup, you know, we have to go. I mean, do we want to do a Kyrie State of the Union? We don't have to.
No, we've talked about it. Next up. So I've added one. I didn't tell you about this.
Oh, okay. I'm excited. Yeah.
The cranberry sauce in a can person. Mm. The person who shows up and all they bring is that Ocean Spray cranberry sauce in a can. And I value this person, right? Okay. Because it shows they're bringing a little something. It's always desired. I don't know if you how you feel about how do you feel about the cranberry sauce in a can, the jellied
sauce. In as part of our repertoire, there is a tradition of this one. We have this one family thing of a cranberry chutney that my mom has taken very seriously from a very long time. So I don't think I've ever actually had the cranberry in a can. Not to say that I wouldn't like it, because I generally like eating shit out of cans. Baked beans, you know, count me in. You know, all kinds of stuff. So I actually don't think I've ever had it. But, you know, I eat a lot of cranberry-based chutneys and relishes. So, you know, I have no reason to think I wouldn't like it.
Yeah, I enjoy the cranberry sauce in a can. I'm not really sure how much sugar is in it. I imagine
for more than gelatinous. Like, as I'm understanding it, it's like you slice it into discs, like pucks. Yeah,
yeah.
Pretty weird.
It comes out. Yeah, it comes out looking like a can because it's formed within a can.
Yeah. So it's got to be like 50% sugar. Yeah.
So, but to me, I translated it as like you do. It's so there's one person who brings it. In my family, that's all they bring, and they brought it every year.
My God.
So it's Joe Harris. He brings the one thing. He brings one thing to the table, which is his three-point shooting, and I think it's appreciated. I appreciate it.
He's more than just a three-point shooter. You didn't know that?
Even not anymore, actually.
That's actually true. He is not getting run out. He's like not able to pump fake his way out of the situation anymore. It's just not happening.
He used to be the guy who you know, we all discounted, and he did other stuff.
I blame, you know, Mike Breen and the national media for highlighting the fact that, you know, he's not just a three-point shooter. And then people started to close out on him appropriately, and now he is just a three-point shooter.
Next up, I think you have this one. The cousin who is suddenly vegan, and I added, and won't stop talking about it. Brian, who do you have?
I confess to have not given this a whole lot of thought. So sure. I mean, it would have been DeAndre Jordan, obviously. Right. Are we allowed to go outside of contemporary nets? How long is he going to be a vegan for? Do you think? You think he's going to flop back over?
That's
what happened to me. Honestly, I was vegetarian for 3 years, huge pain in the ass, and then came back to the other side. So in a lot of ways, I can empathize with that arc. You know,
but was the pain in the ass? I think the pain in the ass was part of access, though, right? I mean, if you're making $10 million a year, the access to good vegan food must be increased, right?
Well, it's just, I mean, and it's sort of by design that it forces you to have to think about food and take steps to make sure that, like, you know, what are you going to have instead of this turkey? You know, like basically everything, and so, like, even stuffing is, you're going to be using meat in there for a lot of it. Like, what are you just going to eat the cranberry chutney for Thanksgiving? Like a lunatic? No. So you gotta. I remember one year we had I was early on this tip. This it was like a tube of synthetic turkey or whatever that was made out of I think it was like fungus. It was like mushroom shit. And it's actually really, it was some straight out of like David Chang, you know, one of those like, you know, Hulu food specials. I gotta tell you, it was pretty good. Like based on of all of the synthetic meat stuff out there, this would have been like 2010. It wasn't bad for fungal meats, as far as fungal meats go.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I think most of that, so the spectrum from tofu to the fungus meats, they're all good. Like, that's the funny thing. Like, we all act like, oh my God, they're just, like, I don't know. They're all pretty tasty. Usually how you make them tasty, though, is just by loading them with salt or whatever. You know, you load it with flavor. So they're not healthy anymore. That's the problem. Like, I make three good things, okay? I make oven-baked French fries. Just slice up
from scratch? You go scratch?
Yeah, slice up the potato, a little canola oil, salt, pepper, or za'atar.
Are these a thick steak fry, or are we going mandolin, like actual?
So you want a thick fry, because you want something that actually holds. If you make them too thin, they get actually too crispy, and they lose the potato taste, and it just kind of becomes like a crispy. Like, not a good chip. It's like a bad chip.
Okay.
So you make them like a steak fry, you cut them up, put in the oven. It's healthy-ish because you're not frying them. Right. You know, you're not deep frying them. It's just oven-baked fries. So I do that. I make pretzels, which is a showstopper. If someone can make you a soft pretzel from scratch, you're like, that guy has got something going on. I go into the Black Forest of Germany and I make them.
Yeah.
You know, it's an unusual thing to make.
It is.
So I make that. And I do this recipe that I got from the New York Times. It is, I think it's Umami Burgers or another restaurant's.
Is it an umami bomb?
No, it's a fried tofu sandwich. So it's tofu cooked as if it's cooked like a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich.
Okay.
So you dredge it. It's tofu. You slice it up into like, you know, rectangles.
Sure, I'm with you.
You dredge it in like a mustard pickle brine for a day.
Wow.
You take them out, and then you dredge it twice in this flour, then this mustard mixture, and then you fry it in a pan, and you get like a brioche bun, a little pickle, coleslaw. It is so good, this tofu thing. The thing is, the value of tofu in our minds, we think tofu is healthy. We just killed all health.
You've killed it
because I fried
it. People are really trying to make crispy tofu all the time, and it's sort of like why? Like why? It's water. It's like basically a sponge, and you're like, I want to crisp this thing up somehow, some way. I want to make this thing crispy.
I want to fry it.
it's just not a good vehicle for the crisp. But it sounds like you've got a good situation there, Mike.
It is honestly so one of the most delicious things you can eat.
You're gonna have to make me that.
But it's no longer healthy. It's so unhealthy.
Who cares about health?
Next up, the person who doesn't cook or clean or contribute in any way. This person to me, I feel pain inside of me when I witness this happening in front of me. I cannot cook. Even though I just had a whole 10-minute thing about how I cook three things.
Yeah.
Can't cook. Bad at it. Sam, my wife, wants me to cook Parker House rolls for our Thanksgiving dinner. Like, it's a simple,
just like
simple
out of the tube rolls.
No, they're like,
oh, there's a pill scratch.
Yeah. But I can't, I know I'm going to screw it up. And if you screw up the carb, that's a really bad, people depend on having a carb, I feel like, at a big dinner like this.
I remember I had a Friendsgiving once that I made jalapeno cheddar cornbread for. Ooh. And I get there and the guy's like, let's warm these up in the oven. And I'm like, here's the thing. Don't dry these things out in the oven. And of course.
And then it's like, who was it?
Son of a bitch.
Son of a bitch. Also, that kind of saved you. Cause what if they were not that, what if
they
were
moist? Like, you know, I make a moist ass cornbread. I'm not going to
mess
that up.
First day of Syracuse, Brian was walking down the hall with his cheddar jalapeno cornbread.
My name is Brian. I'm from Montclair, New Jersey.
In terms of the realm of the carbohydrate, like, I have it locked in. I won't say this about many things, but if you want sticky rice, you want a perfect al dente linguine.
Tell me.
I'm your guy. I got the timing down. I don't know. It's clutch. I got the clutch gene.
Is all way to say Italian foods is just to leave off the vowel at the end of all of them?
That's
how we're all Tony Soprano.
Dead simple. Gabagool.
Yeah. Prosciutto.
Yeah.
Salam.
Exactly. Yeah.
So the person who doesn't cook or clean or contribute anyway, I can't stand it because, again, I don't cook, can't cook, and I'm sparing people by not cooking, but I will be at that sink for an hour and a half, cleaning, scrubbing. I will dry. I will do whatever I can.
Putting a spit
to contribute.
Yeah,
yeah. It kind of gets almost excessive. Like, I'm that kind of person who says, no, I don't need help. I'll do it.
You're making
all.
A giant to do of it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I want the spotlight.
Right.
And then when I'm done, if everyone's like drinking and sitting out on the couch, I'll sit down on the couch and do a big ugh. Like, I really,
you come, like, you're like, are you guys sure you don't want me to, you know, dab your chins with a napkin or you don't, anyone need a new coaster?
I want people to know I worked really hard.
Yeah.
You know, I need that. I'm sorry. I'm the youngest child. I need to know that people recognize my work. So my person who doesn't cook or clean or contribute in any way, this is harsh, but I'm sorry. We're doing Blake Griffin. We're just doing it now.
What? He tries so hard.
I know. It's not fair, but
in a lot of ways, he's doing the, like, he's doing what you're doing,
he's
which is like
the dishes.
He's scrubbing the actual inside of the sink, you know, just to, like, everyone's like, what? You don't have to clean the actual sink today.
I got it. Don't worry.
I can't hit anything, so I'm going to scrub this sink. Yeah.
That's true. That's unfair of me. Who did you have someone who comes to mind?
I mean, honestly, what comes to mind is like people from the past, like, you know, Alan Crabb and things like that. This is because I feel like these negative ones, these are.
Yeah, it's not fair.
It's hard to do for this group. For contemporary guys.
These are our guys.
Alan Crabb's a great example.
Yeah.
Because remember when we had to believe that he was a good defender? Because
we had to have something.
We had conversations about it because it was like he was such a bad, horrible shooter who was so disappointing. They were like, oh, but he plays defense. It's like, oh my God.
He was even like slow. He couldn't even, like, I think I was faster than Alan Crabb. I think I could beat him in a foot race. Yeah.
Yeah. You still, how much money did Alan Crabb make in his career? Like over $100 million, right?
So much. I forget what that big deal was, but it was like $17 million a year.
$75 million, right? A year, yeah. Like overall a year, 75 a year. Okay. The family member who drinks too much. Now, I know I won't name names, but there's one person that I've had Thanksgivings with who, from the moment they get in the door, they're pouring out a big old half glass of vodka, a half glass of like ginger ale, mixing it with some soda, mixing it with something to, and then slowly that cup gets more and more vodka proportion versus the mixer, and that person is tanked by the end of dinner. Who's that? I don't know. I didn't have quite the best answer for this.
I don't have it either, but like, so when I think of drink too much, it's like you're wearing the lampshade, you're legless, you're kind of an embarrassment, which is not where I would go with this person, but more about the hedonism of loving to drink a lot. And for that reason, I go like James Harden, because I can see across the aisle, I'm this way too. You know, when we're partying,
this isn't a judgment zone.
I go in, you know, I eat way too much, and I'm a hedonistic person at my core. And I can see that in a way, but I'm also deeply in touch with my insecurity. So I can't be the drunkest person. You know, I can't be too drunk at the Thanksgiving. But I will be drinking a lot. That's for sure. So in that way, I can see your hedonism, James Harden. And I also see that you're probably not going to be embarrassing yourself, but you're going to throw down some vodka crayons.
I had LaMarcus Aldridge in only that if drinking was mid-range jumpers. Like, that guy can't get enough fucking mid-range jumpers. You know, he loves himself. Rum and Cokes were mid-range jumpers, he'd be Captain Morgan's. What a lame.
That's a stretch, Mike.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
Okay. The stressed out host who does everything and isn't thanked. God bless these people. These people are saints on earth. They cook four different sides. They cook the turkey. They do everything. They put the plates out. They do everything to get the dinner ready. And then people waltz in and they just don't recognize the amount of work this person does. I mean, to me, it's Kevin Durant. It's like, we don't talk about, I don't know why I'm doing, if no one's watching this, it's not on YouTube. I'm doing like the Tony Soprano, like
the Italian. Finger. What do you call that? That has to have a name.
This thing, the chef's kiss. It almost looks like a dinosaur. Yeah, it's like a
duck. The duck face.
We don't talk enough about how great Kevin Durant is and how fantastic he is, and he's the best net of all time, technically. Like,
you want to thank him right now? Is that what you're trying to do?
Thank you, Kevin. You do everything. You make the food. You clean the dishes. Yeah. You set the table. You invite people over to your house knowing that they won't do anything. And do
twice a week, we come on here and spend 15 minutes talking about whether Nick Claxton has meningitis or mono. And that's what happens, you know? That's what happens. When you do it all, you're not on our radar.
He's so good. A lot of our podcast conversation is focused on non-Kevin Durant because it's like, what do you say?
It's perfect. You don't need to.
He's brutally efficient and is the best scorer on earth. It's unquestioned. He's a top five scorer of all time in the NBA ever. Easy. That's an easy thing. And he's not appreciated enough. So Kevin Durant, you are the stressed out host who does everything, just isn't thanked. We should thank you. Thank you, Kevin. We should be chanting MVP every time he's from the free throw line. Next up, the super stoned nephew who's devouring the rolls and stuffing. I said James Johnson. He just has those vibes.
I kind of did that too. That's just where my head goes. I don't know that he smokes weed or anything, though, but that's where I, you know.
you know, he may be the kind of guy who like doesn't drink coffee, doesn't smoke weed, but he just has that natural like buoyant energy of, well,
you know, MMA guys are like obsessed with weed now. Have you noticed? So like all the, like cousin Joe Rogan's,
you're like, I mean, now they're obsessed.
Like, oh. Or like they're open about it now.
Like crypto they used weed. They just suddenly got into it. Like, come on.
But he does MMA. And so, and they're always talking about how it's like so good for your recovery to like just smoke a ton of weed. So, so there you go. Tough. That's all I need good to know.
Busted, they should James. Be allowed. Yeah. They should be allowed. Okay, here, I don't know if you may have this one, but, oh yeah, I sent this to you. The guest that brings the weird side dish they think everyone will love, but really sucks. So, again, won't name names, but this person shows up, they walk in, like, as if they're holding baby Simba.
Yeah.
I have the thing, you know, I have the macaroni salad, right. Or whatever, or I have the thing I bought from the local grocery store.
Can we also, for me, this dish is so clear in my mind. It's this like please. Catastrophe with the sweet potatoes and marshmallows. Whenever that thing pops up, where the fuck did that nightmare
my
come
dad
from?
Loves that thing. My dad gets it at Boston Market will make that for you too. The sweet potato marshmallow disaster. I'm not against it.
Well, it sounds like you're not.
I just have to be pretty drunk to do it.
Yeah. But anyways, people like get super geeked out on that, and that's like a hard pass for me. But I just, that was the dish that came to mind. You're like, I got it. I got the thing. And everyone's like,
So for me, that's Javon Carter's three-point shooting. He walks in. He's like, I'm a defense guy who could shoot threes. Hey, love me. I'm 3-and-D. And we're like, do we love your threes?
Yeah.
I don't think we do.
It's a little bit much.
Like,
it's a little sweet.
He pulls up early in the shot clock. He'll pull up from transition and take a three. And I'm like, dude, you should only be taking a three if it's like, if we're just so desperate or you're wide open.
2 seconds left on the shot clock. Go ahead, fire away. But that's a great one. Like, good job.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
The last, I don't know if I sent this one to you, the person in the kitchen who isn't cooking but is giving a ton of cooking criticisms. So this is the person who... For the stressed out host, is making everything, this person will waltz into the kitchen, be like, you're not using enough cream in your mashed potatoes. Or
a backseat driver. Yeah.
I think you overcooked it. And you're like, all right, man, I don't need criticisms. I need, you want to help, make something. Don't just tell me. So for me, it's James Harden talking about other guys' defense. Like, Harden criticize. We saw this with DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah,
he constantly will criticize publicly, not like over the press, but like on the court. You can tell he's telling the other guys what to do on defense.
Yeah,
but James, not really a good he's a better defender than what he was, but you're not a good defender.
Yeah,
but yet you feel you have this license because you're such a basketball genius to tell other guys how they should play defense. So
that's James a good Harden. One. That's a perfect one. Yeah, locked in.
I think that's it.
You nailed it.
What's your worst Thanksgiving memory?
I don't know. They've been pretty chill Thanksgivings. I can't think of any like catastrophe.
What was the setup? Was it just your immediate family, or did you go visit the cousins? And
so there used to be cousins, but then my family is so huge that like it's pretty easy to be like, you can pick your spots, right? And so we decided to kind of go nuclear. Not nuclear as in nuking the family. Just go only nuclear gets invited a couple years ago. So we go up to Harlem. See go to my sister's place out in Harlem.
Is that where she is now?
And my brother, shout out to Joe. He puts on he's a real, like, I don't know why he doesn't have a catering company. He should, but the guy, he churns it out big time. So yeah, we do it there. But before that, we used to go out into all kinds of crazy, go to Albany. Oof, tough. Those are tough. Those were no shout out to the fam in Albany. But there was cousins involved, and that's always too. I feel like my whole family just like we got insular at some point. We got insular. Do you do a whole big extended family thing?
We used to do it. My dad, well, my stepmom's side. We would go to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, which is actually where my dad and stepmom are from. We do it with my stepmom's family. I remember vividly, how old were we when Bill Clinton was getting impeached? Like, we must have been
10?
Yeah.
11?
And I remember, like, I'll admit it, my whole family is pretty liberal. just like the volley of conversation at the table about the impeachment, how awful it was. I remember my older cousin who she was like 5 years older than me, talking all this stuff, you know, how ridiculous it is. And like, there was just, it would always break up into like, there's no opposing side. There's no one like,
right.
You know, but like, I just remember every time we would go up there, there'd be some massive political argument that I would just sit there and be like, oh shit. Can I watch Jurassic Park again, please?
For the third time.
I have no interest in what's happening here.
Yeah.
And then eventually it became just this is so sad, but I mean, I enjoyed these times. Like, eventually it became like, we wouldn't do that. And then it would just be my dad and I go to Denny's.
Oh my God.
Go eat at Denny's and then watch football all day.
After Thanksgiving or before?
This was like, so we would stop going up to see my family in Harrisburg eventually.
Oh, okay. Like, and then it just became Denny's. I see.
It was like the saddest.
That's actually pretty tight. I got to tell you. I mean, that can sound sad, and it does if you paint it in that way. But you can also paint a version of it as like, dude, we found the hack, and it was the Denny's hack for Thanksgiving.
Well, one of the proudest moments of my life happened on a Thanksgiving at Denny's.
What happened?
My dad and I went to Denny's. You know me. I was pretty rotund as a child. I'm getting more rotund as I get older.
You keep saying
back.
This. I don't. Anyways, you've been this. You've always been the same, Mike. This is you've always looked the same, and it's not that rotund.
This is actually kind of also a sad thing, but for my perspective, it was a good thing. We get to Denny's. I order waitress, can I get? I'm gonna get the waffles, a hamburger, and like. Another like full meal, like I ordered three plates of food, and she said, "You can't eat that."
And your challenge accepted.
You can't eat that. And I said, "I can, yeah, I can eat that." She's like, "All right, $5." She bet me $5. I ate it all.
Yeah.
And she gave me $5, and I felt like a king.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, as she walked away, he was like, "Give her that back. You can't take $5 from a Denny's waitress." He was like, "That's not." And it was Thanksgiving. She's like, she's not with her family right now.
Yeah.
And you're taking money out of her pocket. That's not a nice thing. And I was like, yeah, that's not a nice thing. No, but nice. I conquered the beast. It was in front of me. I ate it all and I felt like a king. So those were good. Those were good memories.
That's a good one. That's almost, you know, on par with me beating Nick the Fish in arm wrestling at the bar.
Who's Nick the Fish?
We'll save it for another episode, Mike. Who's that's a cliffhanger Nick the for fish? You. I'll tell you all about it on the next episode
of the Glue Guys.
All right. Well, this is our only episode of the week, I think, unless if Kyrie Irving gets traded. Yeah. But thank you all so much for listening. We'll come back next week. Everyone, just have a great holiday. You know, don't drink and drive.
Be safe. Be safe.
Don't smoke and walk. Whatever form of illicit drug you want to do in transportation, don't do it. You know,
just good just, advice. Sound advice, Mike. Let's get out enjoy, of here. What do you say?
Enjoy the holiday. Nets play the Celtics. I got to go get my booster shot. So thank you, everyone.
Get that shot. Bye, everybody.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.